Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we have the introduction of Stephen. Well, actually, Stephen was introduced to us in Acts chapter 6 as a deacon of the early church. And in Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen now giving a message in front of the religious leaders. As I was preparing for our time together today, and I have not forgotten today is Father's Day, I was reminded of that very clearly this morning. I came home and I was greeted by hugs and kisses and cards and some gifts. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to you, men. And you know, young men, as you aspire to fatherhood, it is a good thing. It's a thing of much responsibility, but it's so precious. But as I was preparing today and thinking about it being Father's Day, I was just reminded of how frequently in the Scriptures we see reference to fathers. And in so many instances, what we see is we see a reference in the past. This was the way our fathers were. Our fathers lived this way. If you go throughout the Old Testament and you follow the God's people, the Jewish people, there are often references to their fathers. And their fathers specifically would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great patriarchs of those people. Just keeping your finger in Acts chapter 7, just briefly looking at Exodus chapter 5, I wanted you to see an example. You see, in Exodus chapter 5, you have Moses and Aaron, and they're coming before the people. And in Exodus, you see, you have the introduction of Moses, and you remember Moses in front of the burning bush, and God introduces himself to Moses as far as I am that I am. And Moses is asked that question of, well, who do I tell the people who you are, that you are? And I go to Exodus 3. I gave you the wrong reference. Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3 in verse 13, and Moses says unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together. Say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, hath appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. A reference to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you see these men put forth as men who they are to follow, men who have marked these people as different, and God has used these people to raise up this nation. And you think about Abraham, and you think about his faith, and you think about, I think of Jacob and his 12 sons and the blessing that he gave to them, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. And these men are looked at as men of faith. They weren't sinless, and we know that they sinned, but they were men of faith, and they were men that God used to put before the people of Israel that they could look to and aspire to have that kind of faith, that kind of relationship with God. In other words, there was an incredible legacy that was left by these men, the fathers. You continue through the Old Testament, and you will often see that mention of fathers. And I believe it is very purposeful. I mean, you can make the case that fathers is a reference to the past people, your past generations, but I believe fathers carry with them the responsibility of their generation and of their people, of their children. So we come to Acts chapter 7, back there, go back to Acts chapter 7, and Stephen is giving his message. And in this message, he follows the history of the Jewish people. He's speaking to Jewish people, Jewish religious leaders. They would have known these things well, but they needed to be reminded of some very important things. I'm not going to read the entire message for us. Let's just read a couple verses, and then we'll get to the main meat of the text that I'd like to look at today. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 says, "Men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get you out of your country and from your kindred, and come into the land which I shall show you." So we have the introduction of the Abraham, the father, that he's called our father. Go down now to verse 14, where we see Joseph, "Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, and 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers." Referencing here Jacob and their fathers, the 12 sons of Jacob, as the heads of the tribes of Israel. And they all died there in Egypt. We come down to verse 20, "In which time Moses was born, and was exceedingly fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And then when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." Verse 24, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that he was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." And he continues on to tell the story of Moses. We come to verse 31. "When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight." This is, he saw the burning bush. "And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold." Now, before I go any further, you may ask and you may wonder, "Pastor, where are you going with all this?" Well, let me just give you the main thrust of what I believe God is seeking to help us understand here. I believe that God's Word gives us this point. That is, that fathers leave a legacy. And they leave a legacy, whether it's good or bad, a legacy based upon the way they lived their lives and the way they interacted with their God, with their people. And as you follow the history of the Jewish people, you see them walk with God and live with God and trusting God. But they go through times and periods of their lives where they walk away from God. And entire generations of Jewish people grow up knowing not God. And here's the fear. The fear is that same trend could happen in the church. That same trend could happen in our lives. Is that as we follow after God, we forget the fact that we are to leave a legacy. And we forget the fact that we are to be investing in speaking of God, in speaking of God's truth into the lives of our children. And I cannot forget what happened in the days of Joshua and his death. You remember what happened at the beginning of the book of Judges? Joshua died, and all of the elders that were with him, they died. And after that generation, the people, they knew not the Lord. You know, the New Testament, it gives us this assurance that the church will last until Christ comes. But it does speak of people that profess to know God, but in their hearts they do not. It speaks of people that walk away from their faith. And we, as believers and as men today, we need to take this exhortation. We're responsible to leave a legacy. We're responsible to leave a legacy of who God is and invest that into the lives of our children. Stephen continues on as he continues to reference the history of the Jewish people. We come down to verse 38. This is he. Let's go to 37. This is what that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, or in the assembly in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. In other words, these are the people standing around Mount Sinai. They received the law from the mountain, from Moses. In verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. And as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. It saddens my heart when we see things like this, where we see people that have just gone through great victories, and they lose sight of God and all that he has done, and they turn their face right back to Egypt. Stephen continues in speaking in verse 40-41 about the calf. In those days, they offered sacrifices unto the idol. They rejoiced in the works of their hands. Then God turned and gave them up to the worship of the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rempon, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Speaking of captivity. Our fathers, verse 44, had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers into the days of David. And that was that reference there of Jesus is actually Joshua, and those two names are interchangeable between Hebrew and Greek in this reference here. Verse 46, who found a favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. And then we have, there's a response. They gnashed at their teeth, they ran at him, they grabbed him, drug him out of the city, and stoned Stephen. Church, as I look at the Word of God and as I look at passages such as this, and as I consider the role of a father, I want us to consider this, that we want our lives to be remembered not for our unfaithfulness, but for our obedience. For the decisions that we make that are for God, not for the things and the times where we've walked away from God. It is sad as Stephen chronicles the history of the Israelite people, as he references their fathers and the legacy that they have left, both positive, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and negative, those that did not follow, those that rejected Moses, those that rejected Jesus. And may we as a church, as a body of believers, as Christians and followers of God today, may we understand the ramifications of every decision that we make. Now, with that as our background, with that as our thoughts today, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 78 and receive an exhortation here from the psalmist. In Psalm chapter 78, we have a very clear exhortation for us as fathers. In Psalm chapter 78, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." The exhortation for us today, and specifically as we consider men and fathers, our job and our role is spelled out there in verse 7, that we might set our children's hope in God and help them to not forget the works of God, but to keep His commandments. You know, one thing that I struggle to do, but I know that I need to, is to communicate with my children the works of God. Now, the people of Israel, you might step back and you say, boy, they had a lot to talk about. There's a lot of big things that happened in their lives, right? I mean, you think about they were a group of people who had their father Abraham, who had was given a promise that the whole world would be blessed through him. But he had no son. But then God gave him a son, a miracle. And then you have this time in Egypt, and there are over 400 years in Egypt, and then God brought this great deliverance. God did it. There's no other way you could look at it. God did that. And they left Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea, and we talked about this week, the Red Sea, and they crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. God did that. You have the time in the wilderness where they're hungry, and they're complaining, and they're wanting more, and God gives them food to eat in the wilderness. God does that, did that. They come to the Jordan, and they need to cross into the Jordan, to the promised land, under the leadership of Joshua, and they do so, and Joshua tells the leaders of the tribes, get 12 stones. They cross through the Jordan, they stack 12 stones up for the express purpose that it be a memorial, so that when children look at that pile of stones, they say, "What, Daddy, what's that all about?" And the father is to tell them what God did at the Jordan that day when they crossed. And you can continue to go down through the great victories of David. God was doing mighty things. But you know what? If you're like me, men, you look at your life and you might think it might lack the spectacular. You're not crossing the Red Sea on the dry ground, and you don't see the incredible miracles and miraculous things that are happening that you can you know, hold your kids spellbound with these incredible things. You know what? I think we have lost the art of seeing God in His work. I think we've become lazy in that. And if something big happens, oh great, we can talk about it, but we can go weeks or months or even years without referencing the work of God. So I want you to just brainstorm a little bit and think in your mind the works of God in your life today. In your life, in the modern day life of you as an individual, the great works of God. Maybe you are a first generation Christian. What do I mean by that? You're the first one in your family that has come to Christ. Do your children understand the miracle that that is? Do they? That is a work of God. To take a family that has been led by godless men and pull a man out of that, and God saves them miraculously, and now you're raising children of your own that love God. That's a work of God. Maybe you have been told that you have a baby in the womb who is not forming correctly. You're hearing of this more and more. Doctors, they have means, they can look right inside and see these pictures, and it's incredible. And they find things, and they tell these parents, I was one of them, that your baby is not being formed properly. You need to make some decisions. And, you know, you walk away from appointments like that afraid. What do? How do you handle something like that? Well, we prayed. We asked God to do something, because what can we do? We can't do anything. And God gave us a healthy little girl. Do your children realize that that happened? Does your little girl understand that that was in her past, in her life? Do we talk of the works of God? Do we communicate them to people? Maybe you're here today and you have an illness in your life. Maybe you have the big C word, cancer, and you've been told cancer. And you've walked away from an appointment incredibly discouraged and down. But that week, a card comes in the mail. And in that card, there's a scripture verse that ministers comfort to your soul. Do you tell your kids what God did that day? That's a work of God. Listen, church, we're looking for all the spectacular, miraculous things when God is right under our noses at work, doing things all the time, making things happen, protecting His people, healing people, doing incredible things, and we're missing it. Speak of the works of God. Allow your children, men, to know what God is doing. We can have the tendency, we'll go to the Bible, and yes, God's Word has all these works of God that He's doing. But you know what? God still works today, too. And we need to be regularly communicating to our children what God is doing. Because you know what? Our children are growing up in a world and a generation with media and a Hollywood that is godless. And God is not working. In fact, they're anti-God. And they're not going to see God there. They're not going to see the works of God. You know what? They're seeing fantasy. They're seeing made-up things. God is real, and our children need to understand that, and they need to understand the very power of God and how He can move in the hearts and minds of people. Do your children understand what's happening in their lives when they can't sleep at night and they have some questions about God? And they come to your door and they knock and say, I'm scared, I got to talk. What about hell and heaven? And what about Jesus? And you know what? You can explain to them that God is at work in their hearts. That's only a work of God. Do you realize that? Can you think about that? It's such a beautiful thing to know that only God is the one that takes us from death to life. And our children need to understand that. Have your children ever heard how you have come to Christ? Have they ever heard the incredible story of that transformation? Do you tell your children when you have no food in the cupboards or the refrigerator and groceries are dropped off at your door? Do you tell your children God provided food today? You know what? That probably doesn't happen too often in our lives today as wealthy Americans, and we're wealthy. But if those kinds of things do happen, you need to tell your children about it. It's a discipline, men, and we need to look for these things and we need to talk about them. You need to create environments in your home, an environment in your home that is full of the works of God. And as things are happening, as you discern and see God at work, involve your family in them. And I dare say what will begin to happen is your children will begin to see God at work. Psalm chapter 78. I'm going to remind you what it says here. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Is that the environment of your family? We need to hear these kinds of things and be reminded of it, because I know our homes and our families were busy and we've got a ton of distractions. But I want to exhort you today as a pastor and minister of the Word of God that our home needs to be an environment where God and His work and His praises are spoken of often. And men, it's up to you to lead. You, men, make that happen. Your wife shouldn't have to push you to do these things. You should lead that. Men, you need to step up and make these things happen. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know. Do you desire your children to know the works of God? I dare say most of us, if not all, sure, we do. Well, the Word of God's telling us how. Talk about it. Communicate. Even, I love this, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Do you realize the power and potential that is there? You talk about the works of God. You're building into children. You're building into the next generation. And the next generation is equipped and even stronger ways to carry on that legacy. That we might have a legacy of faithfulness, and we might have a legacy of men who have led their families well. That they might set their hope in God. We need that, and our children need that. I know you're not supposed to fear, but I know I'll say this. I fear for my children as we think about what's happening in our world. I can't do anything about it except what? Seek to set their hope in God. That's what's going to get them through, their hope in God. That they might not forget the works of God and keep His commandments. Maybe you need to set up some memorials in your home. Maybe you need to set up a pile of rocks outside your door. I'm serious. Maybe you need to set up a pile of rocks outside your door. And that pile of rocks has some significance and some meaning that you communicate to your family. Maybe you need to have some special plates that when you're served food on those plates, you know that food didn't come from daddy's work or pay. It came from God's provision and grace. I don't know. You get creative. Kids like creative things. They like cool things and neat little object lessons. I mean, God's Word's full of those things. But make it happen, men. Make it happen. That our children might know the wonderful works of God. And as they get to know the wonderful works of God, they get to know God. And they're full of hope. They're full of hope. Lord, I thank you for your precious word. And I thank you that as we look into your word, we are blessed by knowing you. And Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that you are a God who is still at work. Lord, I want to pray that you would raise up a generation of men, that we right now, this generation right now, would be a generation of men that would leave a legacy of faithfulness, that where our children know God, they hear of God, of the works of God, and they have hope. I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, you through Jesus Christ, you have given us that hope in the future. I thank you for the salvation of that as ours through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God help us. God help us. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward and we're going to sing Faith of Our Fathers. But I feel it fitting today to call you men to action. You might say, Pastor, you don't do this very often. Yeah, I know. Maybe I should do it more. But men, you can begin to play. Hetty, thank you. Men, we need to act on this. Because our generation, it's not going towards God. It's going away from God. And if we want to turn the tide, it's us that's got to step forward. It's us that's got to make things happen. And the Word of God, it's got to be our foundation, our source. The Word of God tells us, speak of the works of God. And invest and speak of those things into the lives of our children. What I'm asking you to do today, and go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask you today, if you'd like to make a commitment this morning, that you will be a man who's going to step up, and you're going to be a man who's going to say, I'm going to go home and make these kinds of things happen. To speak of the works of God, to set up some memorials, to establish an environment in my home that speaks often of God. I'm going to ask you to come forward and sit up here on these benches and pray. And ask God to help you. To help you to be a father where generations from now they look back and they say it was a faithful generation. It was a faithful father. It's a faithful father.